And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is planning. Each of my guests is discussing an aspect of planning, whether it's successfully finding an alternative plan, life and career planning, or overcome adversity when a plan goes wrong. My next guest is a former Major League Baseball player with the world champion New York Mets in 1986. We'll discuss how he overcame adversity in his life and went from the penthouse to the doghouse and then back to the penthouse again from his book, Conquering Life's Curves. And if you want to join in the conversation or ask a question, you can always call us at 639-0008. My next guest, Ed Hearn, fulfilled his childhood dream of being a member of the 1986 world champion New York Mets. The following year, with the Kansas City Royals, a serious shoulder injury brought a premature end to a very promising baseball career. Determined to overcome this untimely setback, Ed made successful transition into the real world of corporate America, but less than 6 months after his baseball career ended, he was diagnosed with three potentially life-threatening health conditions. Once a strong, vibrant baseball or professional athlete, he was reduced to a man who could barely care for himself. Today, after three life-saving kidney transplants, a successful bout with cancer, and the aid of a breathing machine each and every night, and a costly IV treatment once a month, and up to 50 pills a day, Ed has come back to live a life that is truly an inspiration. Ed is the author of the book Conquering Life's Curves, Baseball, Battles, and Beyond. He is the founder of the Bottom of the Ninth, a Kansas City 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the mission of rebuilding the spirit and the character of this nation. Ed and his wife and their 16-year-old son reside in Shawnee, Kansas, joining us from Kansas. How are you doing today, Ed?
Good morning, Billy. Nice to talk with you.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being on the show. Truly, your life is a very extraordinary one and very inspiring. But let's just set the stage for my listeners, because most of my listeners have never been into the position where you have been in as a Major League Baseball player, going to the World Series and everything else. Talk to me about the sacrifices that you made to reach your life's dream of being in the World Series as a baseball player.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind, through my experiences, I've come to know that it does take planning and it takes goal setting, and you formulate the plan and then you stick to the plan, but life's going to throw you curves along the way. And a major part of success in reaching the areas of your life you want to reach is making adjustments to the curves you're thrown in life. I always tell people, when you see that first real good major league curveball, in front of 48,000, and your tail end goes out and your head goes out, and you want to go back and say, "Mama, I ain't never seen anything like that. It started in my head." And next thing I know, the umpire says, "T. Reich." I'm like, "Oh boy!" But life does that to us as well, so adjustments is a huge part of a plan and progressing to reach your goal. I always like to tell people, don't plan for today, tomorrow. You can look ahead at the end. Matter of fact, the ultimate, as far as that's concerned here on Earth, is, what are they going to say about you, at the end of your life?
When you're gone, yeah.
When you're gone.
Yeah, that's amazing.
All right. Now decide what you want them to say, and then work backwards. Go all the way back to where you're at today, what's it going to take to get to that point. And that's, of course, obviously a highly, very long-term planning and stuff. But, where do you want to be 3 to 5 years from now? You figure that out, and then you go back, and then you set the stage for that. You make the plan, set small goals. But the biggest part I found is being able to adjust to the challenges and the curves.
Without a doubt. My guest is Ed Hearn, his book, Conquering Life's Curves, Baseball, Battles, and Beyond. And Ed, interestingly enough, you came up into the major leagues with the Mets. You debuted in the major leagues against our own Los Angeles Dodgers. On that particular day, you went 2 for 3 with a single and a double. But you're probably better known as being part of one of the more lopsided trades in Major League Baseball history. That was the trade that sent David Cohn from Kansas City to the New York Mets in exchange for you, a relief pitcher, and a minor league pitcher. How did you feel when you were first traded to Kansas City, going from a major market team like New York, playing with the Mets, who had just won the World Series, to a small, if not the smallest, major league market in the United States?
I had no thoughts of that. In that regard, my main thought was initially, well, I'm leaving, the team has a chance to win two or three rings in the next 5 or 6 years. But the other side of that coin was I was coming to Kansas City to be the starting catcher here for the Royals, a team that had won just 2 years earlier. They had a great young pitching staff, and their management people had decided that I was the best candidate to take that young staff and get them back to the World Series. Unfortunately, life throws us curves. I had a shoulder injury, and you know, I hang tight to that. I'm the worst trade in Royals history. But, you know, it's one of those things that I had no control over, and the scouts and the general manager who made that trade, you know, nobody can see into a crystal ball and say, well, you're going to get hurt, you know, within a month of being there. But, you know, in hindsight, I'm a big believer in things work together for a reason. And, you know, I came to Kansas City, I got hurt, and then battled for 3 years, and then within a year after being out of the game, transitioning into the real world, I was diagnosed with all the health issues, and you know, we've had great health care here. God brought a nurse into my life there in that great season in New York in 86, and you know, she's been with me for 24 years in November. We're here, gosh, I better check my calendar. Wow, 13 days, I got to get something going here. I've had my nurse and my wife, we've been blessed to have a son named Cody, and you know, it's not, to me, you know, I understand that a lot of people focus on success, Billy, but I think things are, there's a far greater plateau in life that I believe people should aspire to, and that's significance.
Without a doubt. And what is interesting about all of the travails that you have gone through, and you've certainly had your set of challenges in your life, but a lesser man, and I look at myself and I look at what you did, a lesser man might be despondent after all of this, but you weren't. In fact, you tell that very poignant story about the night nurse who helped you really turn the corner from self-pity to the place that you are right now, talking about purpose and so forth. Tell us that story, because it's really very moving.
Oh, man. It was about 3 nights after my first transplant in 1992, and I was having one of those pity parties like, you know, we all have. But this was the mother of all pity parties. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I was in my hospital bed. It was all dark in there. And all of a sudden, the door to my room opened up, and into the doorway walked this big, massive midnight shift nurse. And she basically came to the head, put in my bed, and pulled out my chart and said, boy, what's the matter with you? You feeling sorry for yourself? Is that why you're awake? Or is it pain? I just kind of grunted at her, and she said, oh, okay, I get it. I've seen a few people like you. Here, boy, we treat patients that got the gift of life. You know, people die waiting to get what you've got, boy. You know, not many people called me boy at that point in my life, though. But I quickly figured she called me anything she wanted to call me. And she came on over the head of the bed, and she pumped up that blood pressure cuff. She got right in my face, and I said, boy, when I was growing up, my mama told me just because we didn't have a lot monetarily or financially, she said, you be thankful for the shoes you got, boy, because one day you're going to meet the man with no feet. You better think about that, boy. And, man, you know, when she walked out of that room, Billy, she, you know, it gave me a great perspective. You know, it started to help me form that perspective. It allowed me to battle not only just one transplant, but multiple transplants and some cancer issues. And you know, as you and I have talked, you know that right now we're facing a really nasty curve with our son.
Yeah, tell us about that, would you, Ed?
Yeah, just a couple weeks ago he had some pain in his forearm, and yeah, we've been through two MRIs and had an open biopsy done yesterday and had a biopsy last week, and everything's pointing toward a pretty challenging issue. There's only about 253 cases of what they think this is, and you know, I don't want to go on here and talk about it too much because our son doesn't really know the real possibilities and the battle that he may be facing. But you know, I kind of laugh at him because as he's been, you know, he knows he's got a tumor and it could be malignant, and he doesn't know it could be a really bad one. But you know, he's been watching a mentor and his dad battle health issues, you know, from before he was born. And, you know, it's funny, I look at him and he's cracking jokes with the surgeons and all this. And, you know, he's a chip off the old block. You know, sometimes you got to laugh when you're battling the tough times. And, you know, right now he's displaying a real nice attitude as far as, you know, I'm sure he's got some questions and, you know, a little scared about things, but you know, he's cracking jokes and with the doctors, and he's actually, you know, talking to mom and dad more.
That's
always a tough one when you got a 16, 17-year-old. So, you know, I've learned in the last few years of when we're young, we don't listen to three-letter words, M-O-M, D-A-D, and G-O-D.
Now, that's interesting. I've never heard that before.
That came out of, I think God planted that one in my mind about a year and a half ago. He said, hey, be patient. He's just a boy. He's coming into age. And it's funny, you know, when he was a little kid, he was about 7, 8 years old, and he was cuddled up to me one time, Billy, and he was going, oh, Daddy, you're the bestest daddy in the world. Oh, Daddy, you're the greatest. And, boy, I just had a great seed planted in my mind, and I turned to him. I said, Cody, you know, down the road, another 8, 10 years, you might not think I'm the best daddy in the world. You might think I'm the worst daddy in the world. And he looked at me like, what do you mean? How can that be? What are you talking about? I said, well, Cody, when you get to be a certain age, your body changes, and this stuff starts pumping through your veins that your body makes, and it helps you become a man. And in that process, sometimes, most of the time, I went through it, and, you know, I thought I knew everything at that time. My parents were the dumbest folks, parents you could ever have. But, you know, the older I got, the more I realized, wow, they were getting smarter.
That's right.
And, you know, as he turned into a teenager, nowadays, every about once a month, it'll come up, I know, Dad, you told me I was going to think you were the worst dad in the world. All right, I know. So I got a little heads up on him on that one. Some of your listeners might try that on their kids when they're real young, and they'll think, ooh, Dad's a wizard. He predicted the future.
Well, that's a great story. Very heartwarming. My guest is Ed Hearn, former Major League Baseball player, also author of the book Conquering Life's Curves, Baseball Battles and Beyond. And clearly your son Cody has a great role model in you, Ed, to look up to and to see how you've weathered the adversities in your life. What advice do you have for my listeners who may be facing challenges themselves?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's a matter of whether they may be facing challenges. I've just had too much experience out and around with people throughout the country as I've, you know, been speaking to groups all over the country, and people are facing challenges, especially today. And I believe that we need role models. We need good, positive role models today. We're lacking severely in that department. I'm not going to get into politics, but, you know, that's one area you can look at and go, wow, are you kidding me? And, you know, at my nonprofit's called The Bottom of the Ninth, and there's a reason for that. I believe our country, we're facing the bottom of the ninth here in America. You know, the bottom of the ninth in baseball doesn't happen unless the home team, the good guys, are tied or behind. And right now, I believe it's the bottom of the ninth. And this country, we got to step up the plate, and we got to swing. We don't need people yakking from the stands, hollering and hooting, say, oh, I paid my $10. I can boo you. I can call your mother this and that and the other thing. No, we need people down the playing field. They're willing to step up the plate and face these challenges. Maybe they'll strike out once or twice, but they got to keep getting in the batter's box, and we got to turn this country around today, Billy, or we're going to lose.
Well, without a doubt. So what does your nonprofit, The Bottom of the Ninth, actually help people to do? Is it an educational foundation? Just exactly what is it, Ed?
Yes, sir. Well, we work in four particular project areas. First base, on my baseball diamond, is youth with character. That's related to character development within other youth organizations. We come alongside, provide role models, mentors, speakers, folks like that to organizations that can't ordinarily maybe have the financial resources to be able to have that quality of presenter or role model around their kids. Second base is the character to conquer, which is for chronically ill, terminally ill patients, their families, and those who care for them. You know, with my background, I just know that people are open to things of value, moral value, faith values, and I think it's a great opportunity to encourage and be there beside people as they're going through challenges. Third base is grew out of a passion that my son and I have for the great outdoors. It's called the Character of the Great Outdoors, and we just take people, mostly kids, and a parent. It is awesome when we can take a parent and kid out in the great outdoors and give them a nice fishing or hunting experience here in the Midwest. And then home plate is the character of Christ, which is basically, it's about faith. And, you know, we talked about the end of your life, and to me that's not the end of us as there's life beyond this earth. And I think our time on earth is short, and it's you know, I think faith is a huge part of the comeback that this country needs to make.
And that it is. My guest is Ed Hearn, author of the book Conquering Life's Curves, Baseball Battles, and Beyond. Ed, you've probably piqued the interest of some of my listeners. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
www.edhearn.com, EDHEARN.com. They can email myself at ed@edhearn.com. You can just Google me. I'm all over the Internet for everybody's got. You can watch videos and YouTubes, and but edhearn.com is a pretty good base for looking around and reaching out, and you can shoot me an email, and we'll get a copy of the book out. We ask the $20 donation for that. You know, people call me up after they get it and go, well, I thought this was going to be a baseball book, but boy, this is about life, and this touched me. Oh, it's just amazing the feedback we've had. And of course, my greatest love is being in front of an organization, be able to personally share the stories and the nuggets of life that I've been able to glean through the penthouse to the outhouse and back. Not the doghouse, man, Billy.
This is PG Radio.
Well, it's the outhouse, you know.
Yeah. Ed, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, brother. You keep swinging. We need folks like you in the batter's box, man.
Thanks, Ed. I appreciate that.